Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you're joining us today, well, it's because you are the kind of curious learner who always wants to know the reality behind the software you use every single day.
Yeah, you really want to look under the hood.
Exactly. And imagine someone just hands you a massive stack of software documentation. I'm talking, you know, technical white papers, security explainers, dense user manuals for a business application.
Which is usually incredibly dry reading.
Oh, totally. Like reading the terms of service on a blender, you just want to make a smoothie. But first, you've got to read 30 pages of legalese about, like, voltage limits.
Right. It's usually just a very mechanical list of features. Click this button to generate a report, or here's the protocol for resetting your password. Highly functional, but rarely a compelling read.
But we are so glad you're joining us today, because the stack of sources we have in front of us for this deep dive is just completely different. We're looking at the documentation for a business app called Titanium Invoice.
Yeah, Titanium Invoice.
And at first glance, it looks like a standard manual for an invoicing tool designed for freelancers and small businesses.
Yeah.
But okay, let's unpack this. Our real mission today is exploring a fascinating case study in how software can completely flip the script on data privacy.
It really does.
We are looking at an app that actively challenges this modern assumption we all have, you know, that convenience requires giving up your data to the cloud.
And I think we should establish just how deeply baked that assumption is into our digital lives right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, over the last decade or so, the tech industry collectively decided that the easiest way to build software was to run it in a web browser.
Right.
To do that, the software has to live on their servers. So the default model just became data harvesting.
Which is everywhere now.
Yeah, exactly. You type up an invoice, and that document, your client list, your pricing strategy, it all lives on a server farm owned by a massive corporation. They process it, they store it, and they essentially own the infrastructure your business relies on.
But Titanium, from what we're looking at here, is built from the ground up on a completely opposite philosophy. It's called TNO, or trust no one.
Right, trust no one.
Which honestly sounds like a tagline from a Cold War spy thriller.
It does.
But here it is being applied to small business invoicing. And before we can even talk about sending an invoice or setting up a company logo, we really have to understand where the data actually lives, because that dictates everything else in this app.
It's foundational.
Yeah.
The core architecture here is what they call encrypted by default. And the most radical thing Titanium does is actually what it does not do.
Okay.
It operates absolutely no back-end application servers for storing or processing your business data. None.
Wait, seriously, no back-end servers at all?
None. There is no central database out there holding a copy of your client list.
Which is wild to think about in this day and age. So where does it go?
Well, the data is stored using a method called local first. It lives directly in the app sandbox storage right on your Apple device. So whether that's your iPhone, iPad, Mac, or even a Vision Pro.
Okay, local first. But just sitting on my phone sounds risky.
Well, to understand how secure this is, we really have to look at the mechanics. It isn't just sitting there in plain text files. The app uses modern cryptography primitives, specifically something called AES-GCM.
Let's break that down for you listening at home, because alphabet soup can get overwhelming really fast. AES stands for Advanced Encryption Standard, and it's basically the gold standard for scrambling data.
Right, and to add to that, it utilizes a 256-bit symmetric key. Now, symmetric just means the same digital key is used to lock the data and unlock the data.
Makes sense.
But the crucial part is where that key is kept. It is locked securely inside the device's keychain, which is actually tied to the physical secure enclave of your Apple device.
The secure enclave?
Yeah, it's a literal physical chip inside your phone that's totally separate from the main processor.
I want to make sure we're really visualizing this because it's so important. It's like the difference between putting your company's financial records in, say, a public storage unit managed by a massive corporation.
Where the facility manager have a master key.
Right, exactly. And you are just trusting them not to snoop. Versus keeping those same records in a biometric safe bolted to the floor of your own house.
That is a phenomenal way to visualize it.
Because without your specific physical device credentials, meaning your Face ID, Touch ID, or your passcode, that data is completely unreadable. Even if an attacker somehow steals your physical phone and extracts the files, it just looks like randomized digital noise.
Exactly. The platform security of the physical device itself is your primary line of defense here.
Oh.
It completely bypasses the need for an external security team because the hardware is doing the heavy lifting.
Okay, but I have to push back here. As a business owner, I hear bolted to the floor of your own house and I immediately think of the risks.
Sure.
I mean, if everything is completely locked on my physical phone, what happens if my house floods? Or, you know, more realistically, what if I drop my phone in a lake? Or what if I'm just sitting at my desk and I want to type a long invoice on my Mac using a proper keyboard? If the data is trapped on one device, isn't that a massive workflow problem?
So what's fascinating here is how the app solves that exact problem without compromising the Trust No One model.
Okay.
Because local first absolutely does not mean device locked. They don't abandon you to a single point of failure. They actually utilize Apple's iCloud to sync your data across your devices.
Hold on, time out. You literally just spent 5 minutes telling me the whole philosophy is trust no one.
I did.
And now you're saying we're handing our financial records over to Apple's iCloud servers. We are definitely trusting someone. How is that any different from the standard cloud model?
I completely understand the skepticism. And that brings us to a really core concept in the documentation called pre-egress encryption.
Pre-egress.
Yes. This is a crucial distinction from what most mainstream apps do. Most apps use something called encryption in transit. That just means the data is scrambled while it travels over your Wi-Fi to the corporate server. But once it arrives at the server, the company decrypts it, reads it, and stores it in their own database.
Ah, so they protect it in the mail, but they open the envelope when it arrives.
Exactly that. Pre-egress encryption, however, means the data is encrypted before it ever leaves your device. Egress just means leaving or exiting.
Right.
So before your invoice travels over the network, before it ever hits the cloud, your phone scrambles it using that key in the secure enclave.
Oh, wow.
By the time the data leaves your phone, it is already that unreadable ciphertext we talked about.
So here's where it gets really interesting, going back to our safe analogy. So my device locks the safe and keeps the key. The internet, or the Wi-Fi network, is just the delivery truck that transports the locked safe to Apple.
Exactly.
Apple's iCloud servers receive and store the locked safe. Then Apple can hand that locked safe over to my Mac. But only my Mac, assuming I have my Apple ID and iCloud keychain enabled, actually has the matching physical key to open it.
You've got it. Apple never sees the invoices. The documentation actually mentioned they only ever see encrypted blobs.
Okay, let's clarify that. What is a blob, mechanically speaking?
A BLOB stands for Binary Large Object. It's just a technical term for a massive collection of raw data stored as a single entity.
Right.
To visualize it, imagine taking a beautifully formatted printed invoice. Now, run it through a microcut paper shredder. Take all those tiny pieces of confetti, dump them into a thick, opaque plastic bag, and vacuum seal it until it forms a hard, unreadable brick.
That's quite the image.
That brick is the encrypted blob.
And Apple is just warehousing millions of these vacuum-sealed bricks. They have absolutely no idea if the brick contains a grocery list or a $10,000 invoice for a consulting gig.
Taking that a step further, think about why this really matters for you, the listener. It provides a layer of defense called cloud compromise resistance.
Which is huge today.
Right, because we see massive data breaches in the news constantly. If a hacker breaches a standard cloud provider's servers, they walk away with millions of readable documents. Names, addresses, billing histories.
The nightmare scenario.
But if a hacker were to somehow breach the servers holding titanium sync data, they get nothing but those vacuum-sealed bricks of digital noise. It provides total provider privacy. You don't even have to trust Apple with your business data, because Apple physically lacks the capability to read it.
Okay, the fortress is incredibly secure. The data is locked down on the device, and it's locked down when it travels.
Yeah.
But wait, I just realized a massive flaw here. A business app eventually has to do business.
Right.
If my client needs a PDF for their accounts payable department, how do they get it? My client doesn't have my Face ID. If I can't easily send a bill to my client, this whole secure system is basically useless to a freelancer.
And that is the ultimate tension in security design. The moment data becomes useful to someone else, it has to cross a boundary.
Right.
Inside the app, you have the encrypted container. It's safe, it's scrambled, it's local. But to send an invoice, you have to create a PDF file. Or maybe you need to generate a CSV spreadsheet for your accountant at tax time, or a ZIP backup.
Yeah, because my accountant definitely can't read an AES GCM encrypted blob. They need a normal file.
Exactly. And the very moment you generate one of those files,
yeah,
you are creating an unencrypted file outside that secure container. And Titanium treats this crossing of the boundary as a massive event.
Oh, really?
It doesn't just happen quietly in the background. When you go to export a file or attach an invoice to an email, the app basically sets off an alarm. It stops you, grabs you by the collar, and presents a very clear warning that says, heads up, leaving encrypted container.
I saw that in the manual. It actually requires an explicit authentication gate. You literally have to use Face ID, Touch ID, or type your device passcode just to generate the export.
Yep.
And I'm going to be honest, as a user, isn't that incredibly annoying? I mean, I remember the first time I realized a free scanner app I used was secretly reading my receipts to target me with ads for office supply.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time.
It felt so invasive, so I completely get the desire for privacy. But as a busy freelancer, having my phone throw up a warning label and demand my fingerprint every single time I just want to email a PDF feels like a ton of friction.
It is friction, unquestionably.
Yeah.
But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the friction is the entire point.
Okay, explain that.
It's a design philosophy called privacy-aware exports. True data ownership means you should never, ever accidentally leak sensitive data. Once that invoice is a PDF sitting in your Apple Mail app, it is officially out of the biometric safe.
Oh, I see.
Your email provider now has a copy. The recipient's email provider has a copy. So the app forces you to intentionally acknowledge that transition. You are taking the cash out of the vault, and the app is making you sign for it so you know exactly what you were doing.
Wow, that actually makes a lot of sense when you frame it like that. It forces mindfulness in a world where we usually just mindlessly tap share and allow without ever thinking about where the data ends up. It's treating your business data like physical cash.
And I will go a step further and point out that despite these incredibly strict security boundaries, the actual day-to-day workflow is built to be fast.
Right, it has to be usable.
The developers clearly understood that if a security tool is too hard to use in the real world, people just find workarounds that compromise their privacy anyway.
So let's actually walk through what that looks like. Instead of just listing features, let's put ourselves in a scenario.
Okay.
Let's say I just finished a gig, like a photography shoot. I'm packing up my gear, I pull out my phone, and I want to bill the client right there in the parking lot. I open Titanium.
Well, in that scenario, you probably sent them a quote a few weeks ago.
Yeah, probably.
You pull up that quote, which is marked accepted. The app offers a one-tap conversion called quotes to invoices.
Nice.
You tap that button once, and it automatically carries over every single line item, the dates, the client information, the calculated taxes, and generates a fresh invoice.
Mm-hmm.
There is no retyping required.
And it looks professional too. When I'm sending a bill, I want my brand front and center. The branding features here are surprisingly robust for an app that doesn't rely on cloud processing.
You really are.
You can customize your logos. The documentation explicitly recommends using transparent PNG files around 700 pixels wide or vector SVGs for really sharp print quality.
Very specific.
Yeah, and you even have fully scalable, draggable, paid stamps that you can color match to your specific brand identity.
Right. And then you go to email that invoice from the parking lot. You don't have to sit there typing out a formal message on your tiny phone keyboard. You can set up standard message templates that use dynamic placeholders.
Yes. You use like bracket, first name bracket, and bracket invoice number bracket in your template.
Exactly.
So when you do authenticate with Face ID and generate that PDF, the app drops it into an email that is already perfectly written and personalized for the client.
Now, let's say on the way home from that photography shoot, you stop to buy some equipment or buy a client lunch. You have a physical paper receipt. You can track expenses right in the app. You scan the paper receipt using the camera, and the app uses optical character recognition, or OCR, to extract the vendor, the date, and the amount.
Okay, but let's look at how it does this, because this is a massive privacy win.
It really is.
Normally, most apps take the photo of your receipt and upload it to an Amazon web server, right? Where a giant AI model parses the text, sends the data back to your phone, and likely keeps your receipt to train its algorithms.
Odd here. Titanium runs a miniaturized machine learning model directly on your phone's native neural engine. It reads the pixels right there in your hand. The image never touches a network.
That's incredible.
But staying true to their philosophy, their mantra here is trust but verify. The app requires you to manually check the math and confirm the fields before saving. It treats the OCR as a convenience, not infallible magic.
And crucially, it stores that original scanned image locally with the record. So if you ever get audited by the IRS 3 years down the line, you have the actual proof of purchase sitting right there in your encrypted vault.
And the way the app interacts with the rest of your phone is just as clever. Let's say you need to drive to your next client's office. With one tap, you can open Apple Maps for directions or create a calendar appointment for the site visit.
I noticed this in the documentation, and it is just a brilliant detail. When you tap to get directions, Titanium doesn't try to build its own internal map view filled with third-party location trackers.
Right.
It simply hands a plain text address string over to your device's native Apple Maps app. That's it.
The text.
No client data, no invoice details, no financial histories transmitted to the map. It effectively outsources the utility of the map while perfectly maintaining the privacy wall.
It's basically a masterclass in using the operating system's native tools rather than building tracking-heavy proprietary versions just to keep you inside their ecosystem. And it keeps you, the business owner, in total control of the money itself. The same philosophy applies to how it handles getting paid. You record your own payments, whether the client paid you in physical cash, handed you a check, swiped a card on your own external terminal, or sent a direct ACH bank transfer.
Meaning the app isn't processing the credit card. It is not taking a 3% cut of your hard-earned money.
Exactly. It's a pure software tool. It's not a service middleman trying to insert itself into your revenue stream to skim a percentage. It is just a highly secure digital ledger that helps you keep accurate books and an auditable client history.
So what does this all mean for you listening? We've looked at the underlying architecture, the cleverness of pre-egress syncing, the deliberate friction of exports, and a day-to-day workflow that proves privacy doesn't have to slow you down.
No, it doesn't.
Titanium really is a masterclass in treating your business data with the exact same reverence you treat physical cash.
Well said.
By utilizing local-first storage, combining it with pre-egress encryption for safe syncing without trusting Apple, and enforcing privacyware exports, it proves that trust no one isn't just a paranoid fantasy for cybersecurity experts.
It's highly practical.
Right. It can actually be the foundation for a highly efficient, beautifully branded, frictionless business workflow. You just don't have to give up your data to get your work done.
And that leads to a much larger, almost disruptive thought to leave you with today.
Lay it on us.
We've just spent this deep dive exploring verifiable proof that an app can offer seamless cloud syncing, powerful machine learning OCR, and one-tap workflows without ever needing to harvest your data. It works beautifully.
It really does.
So imagine what happens to the macroeconomic landscape if all software returns to this local-first model.
Oh, wow.
There is a multi-billion dollar data broker economy built entirely on the assumption that software companies get to silently harvest and sell your usage habits, your client lists, and your financial data. If local-first technology like this becomes the standard, does the targeted advertising industry simply collapse? If the data well dries up, the entire internet economy as we know it might have to fundamentally rewrite its business model.
Now that is a massive question to end on. It really makes you rethink who holds the master key to your digital life and what industries are relying on you leaving the safe unlocked. Are you leaving your business records in that massive public storage unit to feed the data brokers, or is it time to look for a biometric safe bolted to your own floor? Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and keep asking the right questions.